Hey there, I'm Ann Davis. This is Desert Air, a show that turns the mic on real Las Vegans, from your neighbors to newsmakers. In this episode, Nevada Public Radio Managing Editor Heidi Kaiser talks to Junior Lopez, who is the founder, executive, and music director of the Dr. Shirley Lindsay Young Artist Orchestra of Las Vegas. Also joining them is Sachi Blevins, a local student and member of both the National Youth Orchestra and YAO, which is marking its 10th anniversary on April 13th. Heidi talks to Junior about how he came to music, his varied career as a violinist, and why he founded the Youth Orchestra.
Junior, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you here. The Dr. Shirley Lindsay Young Artist Orchestra is marking its 10th anniversary this year. We'll talk some more about that history in a moment, but first, can you tell me a story about the orchestra that really captures its essence for you?
Oh, wow. Great question. I'm originally from Las Vegas. I grew up here, and I moved to Canada, and I lived there for about 6 years, and I never actually thought I would move back to Las Vegas. I really didn't. I fell in love with Canada and so forth, but eventually I met a girl, and I fell in love with her, and she got a job in Las Vegas. And I still had family here, so it was very natural to easily move back. And I traveled so much during that period in 2014, 2015, and eventually that girl said to me, you need to do something in this community. We live here together. Otherwise, we're done. And I looked at that and I said, okay, I need to figure out what I want to do. And I started to really look at how the community had changed. The Smith Center had been built, you know, that was not there when I was a student. And I started to look at what the community needed. And that's sort of how I came about with creating the orchestra. And, you know, for me, that first year was probably very impactful for me because the students were the ones that really recruited themselves. They were the ones that were really hungry for a challenge and for something different. So in a sense, it was sort of easy to get things going. And just watching them put things together for their own development, I think that's probably the most impactful thing of our story.
You describe that hunger. Can you think of a moment where you really saw that in one of the young musicians?
Our very first rehearsal was September 5th. It was the day after my birthday, 2015. And we hosted it at the Clark County Library, Maryland and Flamingo. And right then and there, you could just see how much hunger these students had. We were working on a program that included Elgar, Shostakovich, and Piazzolla, which, you know, for some of them, like especially Piazzolla, that was very foreign to them. You know, Astor Piazzolla was not something that they had seen or played. So that very first day, that's when I saw it.
And you mentioned that was at the Clark County Library 10 years ago, September of 2015, and there were 22 students, I believe, in that
yep.
performance. How has the orchestra changed since that performance?
Well, October 18, 2015 was our very first outing. We had a sold-out concert, and it was so successful that a week later, on the 23rd of October, we repeated it, and it was also sold out. And it was just such an exciting year. You know, the students were constantly raving about it. Their families were very happy with it. And we decided to expand. We wanted to get bigger. You know, ultimately, I wanted a symphony orchestra, which needed winds, brass, percussion, and so forth. By the end of the year, we went from having 22 students to 100. So it grew fairly quickly. The students wanted to be a part of that community.
And how many do you have today?
Today, we have two orchestras, and it's been like this since our second year. And we average between 130 to 145, depending on enrollment and who we accept and so forth.
I want to talk about you a little bit. Your family emigrated from Cuba when you were 5. And tell me how your upbringing in Cuba or your family background influenced your musical career.
So oddly enough, my parents are not musicians at all. My biological father, he's a chemist. My mom was a chemist. I grew up with my stepfather. I consider him my dad. And he was a construction worker. And the only musician in my family was my aunt. I have an aunt who is actually a very well-known singer in Cuba. Everyone else in my family, they were mostly in either medicine, law, or science. Just one aunt was a musician. I mean, Cubans love music, so it's not as if I wasn't around music. There was always music around me. I would say that my big love for music happened here in Las Vegas. And I was a student in elementary school. And, you know, you usually have the middle schools come and recruit. You know, they want to show you the different electives that you could take. And I saw an orchestra play. And I just loved what I heard. And I wanted to be a part of that. Ironically, the teacher that I had now works with me with YAO.
Mm. And why the viola? How did you gravitate toward that instrument?
Oh, the viola. The story with that is when I was going to school, I would ride my bike every day. And when we were introduced to all these instruments, you know, we had the violin, the viola, the cello, the bass. I actually gravitated to the cello. I love the sound of the cello. But here I was thinking, how am I going to take this thing home every day on a bike, you know? And the other thing I noticed was that everyone was choosing a violin. You know, the violin was just, it continues to be the most popular, right? So I looked at the viola and I thought, you know, the viola is close enough to the cello. I'll take it.
You have a reputation as being, I guess you could say, an ingenue. You landed a contract with the Las Vegas Philharmonic when you were only 17 years old. And you were 25 when you founded the Young Artists Orchestra. How did your background or your upbringing affect that drive to do so much by that age?
Well, some of it is really hard work, dedication to what you love. And there is also an element of luck. And let me explain why I say an element of luck. I was very lucky to go to Canada. I went to Toronto and I studied at one of the world's best music schools, the Glenwood School at the Royal Conservatory. And there I met a very well-known conductor. His name is Uri Meyer. And Uri, there's something about him that I was just really gravitated to. He was a really great mentor. And he gets promoted to be the head of music at the time of the entire school. And they were looking for a new conductor for the pre-college orchestra. This would be like the second orchestra in the entire, at the time there were like seven. The pre-college is all the really great, talented youth that are there studying. And one day I get called to the dean's office and they're telling me about this orchestra. And they said, we want you to be the next conductor. And I was a student, you know, my first question was, are you paying me to do this? and they did. I mean, they were fantastic. So in a sense, that was my big break. Here I was, I can't remember if I was 19 or 20 years old, and I was given a job at a major school. Mm. And the thing about conducting is you need podium time. It's time to be on the podium working with musicians to get experience. You don't get that. Even when you go to schools, you can go to any great school to study conducting. You're not going to get a whole lot of podium time with an actual orchestra. And I had that every week. So that's the luck part, being at the right place, right time, meeting the right people. And you have to deliver. You know, that's where the hard work and dedication comes in.
We are talking with Junior Lopez, who is the founder, executive, and music director of the Shirley Lindsay Young Artists Orchestra of Las Vegas. And also with Junior today is Sachi Blevins. Sachi is a Las Vegas student and a member of the National Youth Orchestra. You're a flute player. Hello, Sachi.
Hello.
How long have you been with the orchestra?
This is my third season with YAO.
And I think you're going to play something for us today.
Yes.
All right, what is it?
I'll be playing Winter from Piazzolla's Four Seasons.
Yeah.
was Sachi Blevins of the Young Artists Orchestra of Las Vegas playing the flute for us. Sachi, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Junior, when you hear that, what are you feeling? What are you thinking?
Well, it's funny that she chose to play that because we were just speaking about Piazzolla, right? It sort of ties it together. You know, I first heard Sachi play. I think Sachi was the youngest woodwind player to audition for YAO. She was 13. And it's a very competitive process. And I was, part of my job is figuring out where there's potential. And when I heard her, I was really blown away. So it's always great hearing her. And it brings out a lot of great memories and emotions.
So Sachi, tell me what it's been like in the 3 years that you've been with the orchestra. How has your playing changed?
YAO has inspired me in many ways to keep playing the flute. I joined YAO because I wanted to be a part of an orchestra. Before, I had only been a part of band, but I knew orchestra from all the recordings that I heard, and my father's a musician, so I'd been around music since I was really young. But joining YAO showed me that, oh, I really love to play in an orchestra, and it got me thinking about my future and what I would like to do with my life, and I discovered that I would like to play in a professional orchestra when I grow up.
What do you like about that experience?
I love YAO because when you're practicing your instrument and you're alone in a practice room, it's quite lonely, and sometimes it gets hard to keep going, but when you're in an orchestra, you're collaborating with other people. And there's this sense of you're a part of a group that's working towards a common goal of getting better as musicians and also telling a story through the music.
What is the performance part of that like versus the sort of day in, day out?
At concerts, it's just this kind of like celebration relief that we all worked so hard to reach this goal and tell this story to the audience. And when we finish the piece, and of course the audience applauds, it makes all the hard work that we've done together worth it.
That was Sachi Blevins, a member of the Young Artists Orchestra of Las Vegas, which is directed by Junior Lopez. Here's more of Heidi's conversation with Junior.
I want to go back to your time in Toronto, which you mentioned earlier. In 2010, the Annex Quartet, a chamber music ensemble that you founded in 2006, performed at Carnegie Hall. You were part of that performance. How many times have you performed at Carnegie Hall?
If I would guess 6, 7, or 8, I don't remember. I don't keep track of how many times I passed by there. But
what was the first time like?
The first time, the first time I was in high school, the first time I joined a group called the National Festival Orchestra. At the time, it was like a national ensemble. I don't think they're around anymore. Now we have the National Youth Orchestra, where Sachi is now a member. And so I played in there, and I was a principal violist playing under a conductor named Benjamin Zander. And we played Shostakovich Symphony Number 5, and I don't remember what else was on the program, but I remember that one because I'm a huge fan of that symphony. But it's amazing hall, a lot of history, great acoustics. So I do have fond memories of the hall, and of course the red chairs, that's never changed.
The Annex Quartet collaborated with Canadian musician Jane Bunnett on an album that won the 2015 Juno Jazz Record of the Year Award. Where is the overlap for you as a performer and musician between classical and jazz?
Oh, well, I wouldn't consider myself a jazz musician. A lot of my close friends are big jazz musicians internationally. One of my closest friends being Roberto Acapinti. But, there's even a genre we call Afro-Cuban jazz, that's very popular. So another close friend, Hilario Duran, the great Cuban pianist, we've collaborated many times. So, for me, it's whenever I have the opportunity to collaborate with these other artists, I take it because I want to learn their language. I want to be a part of the creativity they're putting out. It helps me see music in a whole different way.
Yeah, and you've collaborated on projects in a number of different genres, really spanning the spectrum from, opera to rock, hip hop. Is it accurate to say that chamber music, though, is your sweet spot?
Comfort zone. I mean, I'm pretty comfortable in general. Yeah, I love chamber music. It's more intimate. You have a lot more liberty and freedom. And I'm a big fan of string quartet playing. But if you look at the work that I've done over the last decade, like you mentioned, I love diving into a variety of genres. The last album I released is called Mariachi Sinfonico. It's a whole mariachi record. And mariachi for me was, you know, I grew up with mariachi. My next door neighbor always had a mariachi or a Mexican band called a banda, always in his backyard playing. but I had never really collaborated with one. And now, you know, I have a whole record that has the YAO, the whole symphony with the mariachi. But I mean, there's just so much. There's so many possibilities now.
And as a chamber musician, you've collaborated with so many other musicians, as you were talking about. What's a memory from that broad range of experiences that really stands out for you as why you love collaborating?
You know, when it comes to string quartets, you know, the Annex Quartet was, it's like my baby. It was a group that I created, and my colleagues were all very close friends. And we used to have this residency at the Stratford Festival. The Stratford in Canada is known mostly for doing like Shakespearean plays and things like that. But they also have a world-class international music festival. And we had a residency there. I think we were there for like 6 summers. Every summer we would go and play. One summer, we were asked if we could do the 6 Mozart Haydn string quartets. And the 6 quartets that Mozart wrote as a gift for Joseph Haydn. And, you know, when we were asked to do it, you know, we were asked, have you played them? And I just said, yeah, sure. You know, we played a lot of quartets, but we actually had never done those. And at the time we were so busy. I think that summer we had like 16 engagements or something. And so when we get to Stratford, here we have to perform these 6 quartets back to back. And each of them were like 45 minutes. So the way we divided the concerts were we would play 2. So we would do about 90 minutes. And then the next day we'd come back and do 2. So we did over 3 days, we split them up. But, you know, I have fond memories of that because I remember we would rehearse. We would then go to the hall, we would play. We would come back and then we would sleep most of the rest of the afternoon. We would wake up at night, rehearse, go to sleep again, and then repeat the process. And it might sound like a terrible habit to have, but I have such incredible memories of the music that we created together. And just the experience. That one comes to mind just, maybe it's just the time that I spent with my colleagues, you know, those summers.
Your biography describes you, and your title, for that matter, describe you as an entrepreneur. You're the founder and executive, among other titles, of the Young Artists Orchestra. And you were also CEO of Lord of the Cigars Corporation. First of all, how do you have time for a business career with your music career?
So over the years, I have founded several different organizations. Some of them are either seasonal, meaning they don't require my attention full time. YAO, I would say, is probably the one that requires most of my attention because there's something always happening. Even when we finish out our season in May, we also have summer programming. You know, so we'll have a string quartet program that we host at UNLV. We have a summer camp. So that's probably where most of my attention goes. I also run an organization called the Opus Music Competition. So it's like we host statewide competitions throughout the country, a national competition. And believe it or not, I'm also the president of the Musicians Union. So there are a lot of titles, a lot of roles, and I do have a system on how I'm able to handle everything.
What is it?
My wife would rather me find a way to reduce my workload, but she thinks I have an addiction to work. I don't know. Maybe one day I'll be diagnosed, and then, you know, I'll say you were right. And but, you know, depending on the day, I'll be focused on specific tasks. Sometimes after she goes to bed, I will go into my office and I will take care of some emails or paperwork that needs attention. But I'm pretty good at, you know, just staying on top of everything and communicating. And I try not to let anything get past me.
You tout the orchestra as one of the nation's highest grossing. Speaking of business, how do you measure that or compare with others?
So the business model of the orchestra, it's a tuition-free program. So the students don't pay to be in it. If you look at comparable programs around the country, you know, they're costing $2,500 and up. I think one of the students just told me recently, I think it was Chicago Youth Symphony, what did they say? It was like $5,000 tuition, something like that. So, you know, for us, we have to find ways to be creative to keep the program free. So we have grants, we have some donors, but the business model I created is a big chunk of it is based on ticket sales. We believe that if the public really wants a program like this, that they should invest in it. They should come out and listen to them. And by buying a ticket, that's your support. So about 2-3 years ago, we started looking at what ticket sales were like in other organizations. And you can, because we're all nonprofit, you can pull up our financials online. And we noticed that the biggest youth orchestras in the country, like the New York Youth Symphony, Chicago Youth Symphony, and so forth, you know, they were bringing in anywhere between $75,000 to just over $100,000 in ticket sales. And then when we looked at YAO, last season, we brought in over $160,000 in ticket sales. So we realized, oh, you know, we're actually outselling all these really large organizations. So that's how we were able to say that we are one of the highest grossing youth orchestras in the country.
You also list on your biography several hobbies, including speed skating. And I just have to ask, how did you get into speed skating?
Oh, man. When I was a kid, I was very competitive. So I did a lot of different activities, and I loved to go skating. Specifically, I love roller skating. So growing up, you know, I spent a lot of time going to a skating rink, and it's great exercise, a lot of fun. And even today, I still have a pair of speed skates. So occasionally, you know, I'll go around in my neighborhood and you'll see me skating if I have the time. But it's I love speed skating. I love professional boxing. That's another one, which is a very Cuban thing of me because I grew up. That was like one of the national sports of Cuba is boxing.
And I think you're a poker player as well.
Not professionally, and I'm not a gambler, but I do love Texas Hold'em. Yes.
Junior, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
That was Junior Lopez, founder of the Young Artists Orchestra, talking to Nevada Public Radio's Heidi Kaiser. Earlier, you heard orchestra member Sachi Blevins perform an excerpt of Winter from Astor Piazzolla's Four Seasons. And this is Desert Air, the best of Desert Companion magazine for your ears. And it's done by the talented folks at Nevada Public Radio. You are able to hear this without ads because of listener support. You can find more on this story and how to keep others like it coming at knpr.org. I'm your host, Ann Davis. Thanks for listening.